This is the Modest Million Show, episode 015, How to Create a Money Binder. Everybody, and welcome back to the Modest Million Show, the show dedicated to helping average folks like you and me better understand and simplify our personal and household finances so we can chart our own path toward modest millions. I'm your host, personal finance enthusiast, dedicated budgeteer, and aspiring modest millionaire, Phil. On today's episode, we're talking about a money binder. What is it, how to create it, and why you need it in your personal finances. So I don't know about you, but in our household, I am the one that manages our finances. Mrs. Modest does so many things to help keep this household up and running and fully functional, and I am eternally grateful to her for that. It's certainly something that she likes to do, and she's great at helping keep our household up and running. My role has oftentimes landed on managing our finances and being the one to set up our contributions to our 401ks, to execute life insurance policies and you know, to acquire those and get those set up, really to manage all of our bank accounts and manage all of our business accounts as well too. So it's something where there's a lot there, and it's certainly something that we have very open and honest conversations around our personal finances. I give her a lot of updates on where things are at with our finances. But it's something where if something would happen to me tomorrow and I get hit by a bus, and however morbid that may be, it's a real situation that could happen and happens to couples and all the time. And it's something where if that would happen, I would be leaving my wife and my kids in a situation that would be full of uncertainty. There are beneficiaries set up, and they're designated as beneficiaries for, say, life insurance policies. And my wife and I are co-owners on our bank accounts where applicable, and all of that. So I truly feel that money would get to the right spot eventually. I don't have any experience in that, so I don't know for sure. You know, that someone would come, a financial institution or a life insurance provider would come to us and say, "Hey, you guys forgot your money. You know, here it is." I don't want to put my family in jeopardy or at risk of that. And if you're in a situation and you maybe are, because you're listening to this podcast and you maybe are managing the personal finances in your household, I'd encourage you to look at this too. And it's something where that, admittedly, I have not created yet. And obviously, this is a podcast for average folks, and life gets in the way and things get pushed down on the priority list. But I'm creating today's episode to really, you know, light a fire under my butt to get this done for our household as well too. But I want to be able to document and list out all of these different places where we have our money. So, and the great way to do this is in a money binder. And I'm talking about like old school binder style, like three ring binder. If you have a trapper keeper, put it in there, all the better too. Wrap it in canvas goodness. And maybe you decorate it with a couple Sharpies and some Lisa Frank pens or something like that. That's a throwback to those of you from the 80s and who grew up as school kids in the 90s, like I did. So anyway, a regular old three ring binder will do just fine as well too. But not, and especially in today's age too, I'm not talking about putting all of this information on a portable hard drive. Maybe you do that. Maybe you get all of that information on there. Maybe you encrypt it. You can go through all of these security protocols to keep that secure. But I was finding something out at work the other day, and I work, for those of you who don't know, I work in an IT company, and we do a lot with cybersecurity. We do a lot with hard drives and storage and cloud computing and all of that. So I was talking with our security team about what we have and, you know, personal consumer grade portable hard drives and how inexpensive a terabyte of storage is versus what you might find at the enterprise level that we're providing to our clients and why that is more expensive. And it turns out, in case you're wondering, personal consumer grade portable hard drives are not meant to last forever. They might last for 1 year, but they're, you know, maybe it's 5 years, maybe it's 10 years, but they don't have the failovers and the redundancies in place like the enterprise level storage does. So you may be something where maybe you're putting all of that information all in a digital binder, so to speak, on this portable hard drive. You put it in the safe, and then maybe you don't need it for 20 years, or your spouse or your partner doesn't need it for another 20 years because you have a good, healthy life, but something happens at that point, and then they need it. The problem is these hard drives aren't meant to last forever. So if they go into the safe, they pull it out and plug it into the computer, there's nothing to say that that information would not be corrupted, that it would not be readable by the computer, and maybe the technology has changed as well too. So those are all considerations that you need to think about, especially in today's digital world where things change so much. So when you have a printout, a hard copy, man, it's tough for that to go somewhere. It's tough for that to not be able to be read. Now, granted, the ink might smudge or fade or something like that. So you just have to think about, be smart about it. But really, this money binder is something that you have. It's a Bible to your personal finances, so to speak. It's a guide map. And it's something that you want to be updating frequently. You know, maybe you update it quarterly, maybe you update it semi-annually or annually at the very latest. But it's something where you just keep that information fresh, because you're going to have passwords that change, you're going to have account numbers that change, account balances that change, maybe changes in your investing philosophy, accounts that will close, accounts that will open, everything that goes into that. So it's something that you're going to want to keep relatively fresh and relatively accessible. But you know, maybe it's something that you put in your home safe, and that's where you keep it safe to protect it from fire and most theft. Or maybe you take it to a bank and you open up and rent a safety deposit box for a couple bucks or whatever the cost is to open one up at your local bank. That could also be an option. Or maybe you print out a couple copies and you have them kind of scattered throughout, so you know you're really prepared. That's probably the best way to do it. Or maybe you've got it in your bunker, your apocalypse bunker, so you know, right next to your shelf stable canned foods, so and your gallons of water. Anyway, whatever you need to do to make sure that it works for you, just go ahead and go do it. Okay, so let's talk about how to create a money binder now that we've talked about what is a money binder. So in the simplest sense, you just want to structure this in a way that makes it easy to understand and easy to read and easy to access. So start it off with a table of contents. You're going to, if you want to get super organized with it, I think my wife would be one that would have dividers and color-coded tabs, and it would be very precise and organized. If you want to do it that way, great, but just put a table of contents in there so they can quickly flip to the right section, because if they're using this money binder, it very likely is because there were some situations that probably put them through a pretty traumatic experience. If they're using this money binder, it means that that you know perhaps you're not around anymore, and that can be really hard. So you want to just make this as simple and straightforward and as easy to understand and digest as possible. So start off with the table of contents. After that, the first section, use this to be an executive summary, where you talk about the past year. What were some of the decisions that you made? What were some of your investing philosophies? What were some of your general money philosophies? You know, are you a proponent and believer and have you been steering your personal finances along the all debt is bad philosophy? Or are you along the lines of, okay, well, if there's any debt, pay off the debt that is below what your rate of return might be in the investment in the stock market. So, you know, maybe pay off your credit card debt and any high interest loans, but maybe you don't pay off the mortgage early instead, and you redirect that back to investments. Or maybe you've been taking a path where you've advised that your money be directed to fund your 401k up to the employer match, and then you redirect the rest of that back into a Roth IRA, and then, you know, if you max out your Roth IRA, then the rest of it goes back into your 401k. Just some of those different things that, you know, kind of give that peek behind the hood and an education as to why you are making some of those decisions. And you, maybe you're having those conversations with your spouse or your partner, but this just, again, eliminates some of the ambiguity there. It also is something that your loved one would be able to take that 1 to 2 page overview, you know, the current state of the union of your personal finances, and maybe they take that to a trusted advisor, a trusted friend who also understands the investing space and helps them, and they can then help your loved one understand and interpret kind of what you were doing and how you were setting things up. So that would be that first step, very important, very helpful to have in place. The next one, which will be where they will often want to go next, is the contacts. You know, what are the key contacts that you're going to need to have to make sure that your family knows who they need to contact in the event of a worst case scenario? So, you know, maybe it's something, you've got your accountant listed in there. Maybe you have your life insurance company and your life insurance agent listed in there. You've got your bank or any banks where you have accounts listed in there. You have your benefit plan administrator from work listed in there. These are all things where you maybe put your address, you know, a contact phone number, a name if you've got one, something that's referenceable, and probably the account numbers as well too. So if they're calling on your life insurance account to submit a life insurance claim, they have the contact information and the policy number readily accessible and handy as well. So that's the key contacts section. That's section number 2. Section number 3 is where you can list out all of your net worth. So call it a net worth statement, so to speak. So here you're listing out all of your assets. So your bank accounts, your investment accounts, your retirement accounts. You're listing out all of your, really any of those assets inside your house, for instance, your computer, your cars, what information they need to know about where the mortgage is held for the bank, any additional equity that you have built up, any other assets that are on the books that you want to make sure that they think about, that they track. At the same time, too, you probably want to list out the liabilities so, you know, they don't get surprised with any debt payments or anything along those lines, and they know where everything is listed out. So you want to make sure that you have all that listed out, the assets and the liabilities, and include, you know, hard copies of your bank account statements and everything along those lines too. So that's just going to help, and you've got copies, and you probably are making a couple copies and placing them in maybe, you know, 1 or 2 other money binders that you have set up. The fourth section would be for life insurance. So here, depending on, you know, the types of life insurance policies that you have, include copies of the actual life insurance policies. So, you know, keep the originals in the safe or wherever you keep those safe right now, but, you know, just put a copy of the entire policy in there. And also too, in this life insurance policy section, don't forget to also include information on any workplace life insurance policies in place. I know many employers, as part of their benefits package, will include, say, one times your annual salary, and then you maybe have the option to purchase additional life insurance as well, too, some supplemental. And so, you know, let's just say you make $75,000 a year in your job, and the normal life insurance policy that comes part of your benefits is 1x your annual salary. So that's $75,000 that, you know, if you are not reminding your spouse about, it might be hard to collect some of that information. So make sure you list that in this life insurance section as well too. The next one is the will and trust section. And so here, if you have a will or if you have a trust established, it's something where, you know, we're in our mid-30s or early to mid-30s. So, you know, we don't have a will or a trust established right now, but to be honest with you, it's probably something we should look at. You know, we should probably have some of these things in place as we start to be more thoughtful about our finances and the future of our finances so that we're not leaving anything to chance, anything to doubt. You also probably want to put in here some medical directives. And it's something that we've gone through with when we've had our kids. My wife has, needed to have C-sections and surgery. So, you know, you're going under the knife, and it's something where we've had to have some of those conversations. And so we have medical directives. So this would be something that we would place in our money binder and at least copies of them. So there is no question if there is an issue later on when, you know, they know what you're looking for. Businesses is the next section. So if you run a business, or maybe it's a primary business, maybe it's a side hustle, you know, whatever that is, if you are the business owner, you have intimate understanding of your financials, of the assets, of the liabilities, you know, how the business is being run, what's, you know, kind of the current strategy and overarching business plan. But you don't want to put your loved one in a situation where they don't understand what's going on. So here again, education is key, bringing out all of that information that they're going to need to know to be able to step in and run that business if they want. And you have to figure out, you know, what makes sense in terms of how much detail to leave. But again, here too, as long as you're getting everything set up, you probably wouldn't hurt to give more information than less, so that they can make a decision. And or if they decide, then, you know, maybe it's best for someone else to run. They at least can understand what the overarching, you know, what your vision was, so that they can help relay that vision to the next generation of whoever's running that business. The final section would be a password section. And here there's probably a couple different ways that you could look to do this. You could put everything, all of your passwords into a spreadsheet, print out the spreadsheet, and include that printout in your money binder. The password section includes passwords to everything, all of your accounts, how they can log into the online 401k dashboard for your workplace retirement plan. It includes the login information for all of your bank accounts. Heck, you probably want to include the login information for your Facebook account as well too, you know, so that they can manage some of your social media presences or shut them down, you know, should that be the path that you go. So this is all of those things where you could print that out and put that in the binder, but, you know, if your binder ever gets compromised or someone gets their hands on it, that could be really, really troublesome and lead to a lot of really big issues if someone then has access to all of your accounts just by having a single piece of paper. So that could be an option. You know, if you've got a secure option, there could be other ways that you go about that. Maybe you're kind of creating a codex or something that you're doing some old school coding, you know, or code breaking, I should say, or code creating. And your spouse or significant other maybe holds the key. It would be kind of a fun way to do it. Be super complicated to do, especially if your passwords change, or, you know, as they should. But that could be an option too, and that would probably be the most secure way to do it. So your spouse is really the only one that could ever unlock that. But what if something happens to your spouse? Then you're putting your kids at risk too. So that has flaws too. Or maybe you're looking at an online password manager like a LastPass or a 1Pass. You know, these are services where you input all of your accounts and your passwords, but then there's only one singular password that you need to know. And it's the password that really unlocks the entire world. So that could also be an option. I've also heard about a password management app called Dashlane. And Dashlane is one where you can set a time period, say maybe 3 days, and if someone requests access to the password, you'll get notified and say, hey, you know, someone's trying to access your Dashlane account. Is this you or is this authorized? And if it's you, obviously you can say, yes, this is me, this is authorized. Or if it's not you and you did not authorize it, you then have 3 days to say, nope, I didn't authorize this, don't grant access, and they won't. But if obviously something happened to you and you are unable, say you pass away, you are obviously unable to then deny access. So at that point, then they assume, okay, well, you know, someone is accessing this and has the ability to access this account. So this is going to be okay. That could also be an option for you to consider too. So you just have to figure out what your, you know, personal threshold is for that. And then, you know, that will help. Or I guess maybe another option, just thinking out loud here, you know, maybe you've got a printout of all of your accounts and then in a separate, you know, maybe that's in your money binder, and then you've got a safety deposit box at the bank. And in that safety deposit box, then maybe then you have the passwords that then match up to the accounts. So that would be a way to do it. So the only way to do that is if you have access to both documents, pieces of paper, you've got those in place. So that actually might be, thinking out loud here, that might actually be a good way to do it too. So you just have to figure out what makes sense. But bottom line is that this is just a really an option for you to, you know, creating this money binder allows you and your significant other, your spouse, your partner, your loved ones to really understand how, you know, kind of get a peek inside of your head so that if something happens to you, you're not putting them at risk or at jeopardy as well of their financial future. So this is just, you know, the way I look at it, just kind of my responsibility to be able to impart some of this information to my loved ones so that I don't put them in a situation that that makes them wonder if, you know, if they were able to find and uncover all of those accounts. That could put a lot of undue stress on them in a time when really you are, you know, wanting them to have all of that information and keep things safe and secure. So anyway, I think that'll do it for this week's episode. That is enough. that's enough talking about bad things. So let's close it out there. But I'd love to hear from you too. Do you have a money binder set up, or do you have it structured differently? Do you have different sections? What do you like to put in some of those? I'd find that especially helpful too. And certainly would love to share those with the community too, because again, it's something where I need to get that set up right now. And so I'm all ears, because I'd love to know what works for you. This is, I think, is just how I've thought about how I would structure that. But would love your thoughts too, especially around the passwords, you know, and how you're handling that. Don't obviously share your passwords, but you know, what's your process there? And so anyway, I'd love to hear from you. You can reach out at feedback@modestmillions.com, for your, you know, feedback on this particular episode or your money binder. And also just any general feedback from the show. I always love to hear from you. For a recap of the strategies, tools, and links that we talked about today, you can go ahead and check out the show notes for this particular episode, and that will be at modestmillions.com/015. And while you're on the site, don't forget to subscribe to get email notifications when new episodes come out of the studio. You'll hear about that first there. Actually, you'll hear about it first on your podcast app. But in the case you aren't in the podcast app all the time, this, you know, the email notifications will be helpful as well too. So make sure you subscribe there. So you can do that at modestmillions.com/subscribe. And please, if you like what we're doing here and you find some value, certainly would appreciate you leaving us a review. 1 star, 5 star, 10 star, 100 star, whatever they let you do on iTunes or Google Play or whatever podcast platform you're listening to us on. That will help us continue to grow our reach and grow our audience and grow our community of average folks who take an interest in personal finance. So would certainly appreciate that. Join me next week when we talk about how to find your side hustle, if that is so choosing something that you're interested in. How to find your side hustle, I think, is a great topic as we start to think about opportunities to generate some additional revenue and help you reach your personal finance goals quicker. So until then, remember to keep squirreling away now to earn millions later. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.